How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen. This is always me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, Jackie Shreves.
Hey.
And Chris Cohen.
Hello.
And our guest, Ivy Decker.
Hello.
And Alex Green.
Hey.
And, very jovial, hey. In our ongoing coverage for the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, we just knocked out Captain America, the First Avengers, the First Avenger, singular. The last movie before we finally got the Avengers, the Billion Dollar Baby. I'm not going to say too much because I want to let my guest host say a couple of things first. So, Jackie, toss it over to you.
Okay, I guess I'll just say when Captain America was coming out, I wasn't that excited at first because I was never really into the comics that much. I never really read a lot of Captain America.
Okay.
But I would say it's probably one of the best movies they've done, or at least... Maybe I'm really biased. I just really like it. And I think this was the best... Chris Evans has done a couple comic-to-movie movies, and I think this was his best one.
Absolutely. Chris, I know you've got all kinds of things to say.
I was the opposite of Jackie. I was on Captain America fan like message board pages for about 5 years before this got made, let alone came out. One of my favorite things that happened is... I have to tell a story. I've always loved Captain America, so I was on this message board, and some guy was like, he was one of the site administrators. He's like, hey, I've got a DVD from Marvel that has every Captain America from the 60s till, like, 2000, and he's like, they're free if you want them. I was like, absolutely. And it was pretty cool when I got the package, and the return address, this guy's name was Sam, and he had labeled it Captain Sam America. And I was like, this guy's such a bigger fan than I am. it was amazing.
If only your name could have been different. For those of you who can't see this, Chris Cohen wearing a Captain America t-shirt, Captain America wristwatch, and I had a pretty cool Captain America iPhone case that I caught on the way over here.
Yeah, that's true. I almost wore the full hoodie, but I thought I would save it.
Yeah, no, that's a good call.
I
also, like Chris, I'm a huge Captain America fan. I remember reading the comics when I was young, and I always thought he got way more interesting after he came out of the deep freeze and was out of his element, which... We'll get to find that out in the next Captain America, so we'll save that for later. So with all of that out of the way and on the table, Ivy, how have you not seen this?
Don't do it.
Alrighty, so I was never huge into superhero movies. Like, I saw, like, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans because they came out when I was a child, and so our family thought that would be a good idea for some reason. And then I just didn't watch them for a while, and I wasn't huge into, like, action movies, superhero things. But then I kind of saw in 2012, whatever it came out, when the Avengers came out,
yeah.
I saw it on a whim,
okay.
And then just never went back and watched this one on its own.
Okay. So, like, you just went and saw the Avengers, like...
Yeah, a friend was just like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure, why not?
Yeah. We saw it at midnight together, right, Cohen?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that
yeah.
Was
you,
very
me,
exciting.
O'Connell, and a couple others.
Yeah, it's amazing. They serve alcohol now at movie theaters, which makes a midnight a little tougher. But
get too many sleepy potions in you.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was the midnight shows are cool because, especially for superhero movies, it's the nerds come out. It's great. So
this out of. Like, the first five Marvel movies, this is the only one that I did not see at midnight, was Captain America. And this was the same summer that I ended up somehow seeing Green Lantern at midnight. where I got super drunk on a pint of MD-2020 in the first 10 minutes. And then I sobered up half hour in, and there was way too much more movie left.
Yeah,
this was a huge bummer.
I actually saw Captain America at midnight, and I picked up my buddy who said he went to see it, but he had the day off work the next day, and he actually passed out during the opening scene and slept through the entire movie. So,
jeez.
It was pretty awkward because he was snoring very loudly right next to me.
Shut up,
I almost killed him, but...
This one's for America.
Yeah.
Alex, how have you not seen this?
Unlike the rest of the movies we've gone over so far, this one, I tried my best. I bought a ticket for the movie, paid the upcharge for the 3D glasses,
okay.
Was in the theater. But however, as Chris mentioned, they serve beer at movie theaters. And I had worked a double 2 days in a row. So I got to about the part where he's on the USO tour.
Okay.
I fell asleep, imagined an entirely different movie in my brain, and then woke up for the credits.
I thought you were a Nazi sympathizer is what you
Well, now that we've gotten through it, Ivy, Alex, what did you guys think?
Oh, I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really much better than the movie I had
done in my brain. The one that you made in your head?
Yeah, it was a whole lot better. Gotta tell you, the switch from Chris Evans to Tobey Maguire in my brain was just not a good choice. Not a good choice.
He got smaller. This sucks.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. There was also a John Cusack scene.
Well, I would argue that that is maybe one of the only things that could have made this movie better.
Not good John Cusack.
There's bad John Cusack?
No, there's bad John Cusack.
Name one.
Off the top of my head.
Connor, John Cusack.
Whoa, come on. he's like the fifth best part of that movie.
What's that one where he's in a hotel room?
Oh, 1408.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. Nah. That one.
Hey, that's got nothing to do with John Cusack. He's an American treasure. Alright, it goes Captain America, John Cusack. Son of a bitch.
What if John Cusack had played Captain America? Then that would have blown your mind.
Oh, man.
There'd be a lot more rain scenes.
See him going back to Peggy and holding up that little tiny 40s radio with, I don't know, Dizzy Gillespie or something. Yeah. Hey, have you heard this Satchmo guy, Peggy?
Then there'd be a doctors promoting cigarettes ad right after that. So.
we mentioned Chris Evans, how wonderful he is in this. I've said many times on the podcast before what a huge fucking Chris Evans fan I am. And I remember when they made the casting announcement for Chris Evans as Captain America, there was a lot of backlash. It was like, oh, really? That guy was like, well, first off, he can act. Second off, literally every time nerds have gotten angry about somebody being cast, they've ended up being fucking perfect for the role. Mm-hmm. And I'm hard-pressed to think of who would have been a better fit for Chris Evans, for Captain America than Chris Evans.
Well, I mentioned originally the rumor going around was I think it was John Barrowman wanted to do it, and he's Scottish and not blonde, and so there was a lot of uproar. But nerds will uproar about anything.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Like they could actually unfreeze Steve Rogers and put him in the movie, and they would bitch about it.
Yeah, kind of the worst.
Yeah. So no, I thought it was a really good choice. The big complaint was he's already done a Marvel movie if you count Fantastic Four.
Oh, we do.
Well,
the best part of that Marvel.
Well, yeah, that's true. But if you look at Ryan Reynolds, it's been like 37 superheroes at this point. Yeah. So, I think Chris Evans can handle it too.
Yeah, Chris Evans can do whatever he wants. Well, we mentioned on the Thor episode, Chris Evans has been in 3 comic book movies. Because Fantastic Four, this, and Scott Pilgrim.
That's true.
So, Chris Evans, the exception to the rule. I mean, Fantastic Four is still hot dog shit, but his human torch is wonderful.
Yeah, he was good in that.
That's probably why they gave him this role. They're like, eh, those movies were garbage.
Yeah, we're going to give you a real mulligan. Good in it.
You want to do this one?
Well, and on top of that, too, like, he can be so clean-cut and wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, obviously, I'm sure other actors could have done that, but just everything about him is so charming.
It's another one where they got really, really close to the actual look of Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Like, with Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. pretty much looks just like
Tony Stark. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't have to do much makeup or anything. And then with Chris Evans and Steve Rogers, pretty close. But then again, it's not too hard to do blonde hair, blue eyes.
No, but I mean, like the casting in all the Marvel movies has been solid across the board. Mm-hmm. And I think Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans are the two like top in movies that are filled with solid casting choices.
Yeah, I thought the transformation that they did with the effects was better than some of the special effects, like showing him being pre-Captain America and post-Super Soldier Fighter Ray treatment. They did a really good job with that. It didn't look too unnatural.
No, it's definitely... it's But I think it could have looked like the best thing ever, and it was just weird seeing Chris Evans' melon head on a toothpick body. like the whole time I was watching, I was like, I'm trying to find cracks, and I was like, but this doesn't look bad. It just, like, this looks unnatural, because I know what Chris Evans looks like in real life.
It made me uncomfortable, because it reminded me in fifth grade with that body and head combination.
Hit a little too close to home.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks.
Can I just say, he would not have fit in the same pants. They were shorter, and I was like, no. He absolutely wouldn't have fit in those pants.
Hulked out on the pants.
That's the Hulk argument that they would say in Hulk. Like, Hulk would just be busting out with his dick and balls. The Hulk's like, what? The angrier he gets, he can get up to 10 feet, 12 feet, and he's just fitting in Bruce Banner's slacks. So, it's one of those comic book anomalies.
Yeah, just get shredded up at the bottom, it makes sense.
Captain America's like,
there's massive calves.
My khakis are perfectly intact. they're boot cut to accommodate my muscle mass.
Maybe original Steve Rogers' scrawny upper body never skipped a leg day.
That's true. We only see him shirtless when he's scrawny. Yeah. Like he might have like just secret hidden calf muscles that we never knew about.
Yeah. Not a great runner though. We didn't see that part.
I did see after the fact that he wore rubber feet for that scene to match his body.
Uh-huh.
So like that he said it was awkward to run with those big rubber feet on.
Yeah.
So they had now that scene like bothers me every time because I just look at his feet. I think I can see him, but I really can't.
I try not to watch that too much. I love the after he gets the super soldier treatment, that first chase scene, and he. Like, he's not comfortable with it. Like, he's not used to his new body, so he doesn't correct that he goes flying through a fucking shop. Like, that's about how you would be if you had just learned how to run really fast or fly or something. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think they did a good job with not spending too much time, but just hitting that and then going on. Because they could have made a pre-Marvel superhero movie, they would have spent 30 minutes on him awkwardly falling.
Like, in all the fucking Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I better learn how to figure out my webbing. Oh, I better figure out that I can lift a car. We get it. A spider bit you and your uncle's fucking dead. We know who Spider-Man is. Move on. Jesus Christ.
And then 10 seconds left, he fights Green Goblin. That's how those movies went.
Yeah.
Hey, I figured it all out at the perfect time.
And here's this really short final fight. Oh, hold on. I got to reveal my identity to 30 strangers first before the movie's over. Man, I got a real love-hate relationship with those movies. They came out, I thought they were the greatest thing. And then going back, it's like, everyone in New York knows who Spider-Man is now after Spider-Man 2. It's like, oh man, he's just a kid. Yeah, a kid who works for probably the biggest paper in town. It's probably pretty easy to trace. You all know who Spider-Man is now.
Yeah, they kind of did that weird with Captain America, too, because everyone knew who he was, pretty much. The soldiers. In the comics, originally, he was, like, undercover with Bucky, who was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and this, Bucky's his peer and best friend, so they did change that up a lot.
Yeah, I don't know who all this question is for. I know it's definitely at least for Chris, possibly for Jackie. Probably not for Ivy and Alex. How do you feel about the choice to not have Bucky in his costume from the comics?
That's fantastic.
With the domino mask and everything. Yeah. Just looking like Kid Robin.
The 40s love sidekicks to an uncomfortable degree.
Yeah.
It always had to be like a teen buddy. Like, it just got overused. So it was like hack back then, I guess.
It was the airplane food joke of superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. The long lines of the DMV joke of superheroes. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Even Scooby-Doo had a teenage sidekick.
Oh, yeah, Scrappy did.
Exactly.
What a dick.
That may be the most hostile I've ever heard anyone about Scooby-Doo characters.
Yeah, well, you haven't heard my uncle talk about Shaggy.
Yeah, the problem with sidekicks is you put a 13-year-old boy in World War II, it just doesn't really fit. Now, it'd be kind of unrealistic.
Yeah. It's like, scrawny Steve Rogers couldn't get past it, but this little kid? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not? With no shield either. Let's just throw him out.
Yeah. It's like, a domino mask and, I don't know, a 1911 Browning pistol or whatever they were standing issue for him during the war. I don't know. I've never fought in a world war, so I can't say.
Pussy.
hey, man, if one rolls around, you know, I'll... shit, man, I'll know that it's happening. Some of the other casting in this movie, too, that's since we spent so much time on Chris Evans. Actually, Bucky, Sebastian Stan, really solid for that. And that character, of course, gets fleshed out, as we'll find out in the further Marvel films. He's great. Tommy Lee Jones as, what was it, General Phillips? Colonel Phillips, whatever he was.
Yeah.
Real good. It's like, oh, we need an old, tough, hard-ass guy to yell at soldiers. Oh, Tommy Lee Jones, perfect.
Our Blue Army's already done it too many times, so we need Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. and then, of course, there's Haley Atwell as Agent Carter, who's just solid. Has anyone watched the miniseries?
I did, yeah.
No,
I
need to.
I am still trying to catch up on the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I need to start Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. How is the Agent Carter?
It was better with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they tried to spin off. It got off to a weird start.
Uh-huh.
It kind of lived through the first season and got a little better.
Okay.
They tied it into Captain America 2 eventually,
yeah,
which made it better. Agent Carter is set in the 40s post this movie, and she goes and experiences all kinds of rampant sexism. So the premise is a little weird because she's pretty much proven herself in this movie, which is kind of weird. She's like, give me some coffee, broad, you know, like one of those. And then she's really working with Howard Stark, who's framed for something else. So without getting too deep into it, it's actually enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah, it was like, what, 8 episodes?
Eight episodes.
Yeah. It's more of a miniseries than anything.
Right.
Cool. That's good to know. I think one of my biggest gripes about this movie is that, I mean, they had to set up Avengers, but they fast-forward through 40s era Captain America so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really cool storylines that I remember from that time. We're not going to get any more Howling Commando stuff, which is a bummer. It's like, some of those characters, Neil McDonough, who was Dum Dum Dugan, the guy with the bowler hat and the mutton chop mustache.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, what a perfect casting choice for that role. He's like, oh, he's only going to be in this movie, I guess. All right.
The thing about that, you can always make a throwback movie with the 40s, I guess.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of, I would be hard-pressed to see that.
Yeah.
The one thing, you know, it's such a great thing because the enemy is the Nazis. There's no perfect enemy other than a Nazi.
Yeah.
Everybody hates Nazis. So,
yeah,
like, that would give me hope that they could do something like that.
Yeah, you're not going to sympathize with them at any point.
Right. Yeah, of all the spinoffs, usually with supervillains, they have some kind of twisted logic behind their evil.
Uh-huh.
With Nazis, they're just pieces of
garbage.
There's
the bad guys.
Right.
It's like, all right, these guys are literally the worst. We better go fight them, and we're going to be all right with that.
That was my only problem. They went with the Hydra versus Nazi angle, which I understand because they tied in stuff later. But yeah, I was really dying to see him beat the shit out of some Nazis. Like,
yeah,
Captain America 1 on the cover, which they did in this movie.
Yeah,
passed on the streets is him punching Hitler. So,
I think that's why we got just that montage of like 20 shots of him punching Hitler for those the bail bond shows.
Yeah,
which is better. Is it Captain America that has the cover of him punching the Japanese person, but it's like super racist and like yellow faced and bangs
the
and the
big,
rice
the big buck teeth and
they did it on a Superman cover too.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's also a Captain America cover like that. It's like, oh boy, what a time to be alive.
Well, they did that even in League of Their Own, for example. They had the Hitler, the Mussolini, and the Tojo, and the Tojo had the big squinty eyes and the big buck teeth and
the
very stereotypical Asian, which I've never seen an Asian even remotely look like that, which is kind of even more strange of a stereotype.
Yeah, well, racism paints a pretty broad strokes. They're not known for their nuance.
It's hard to feel sympathy though for like a Tojo or a Hitler. It's like, hey, that Hitler has a Wiener Schnitzel in his hand. That's pretty over the top. It's like, oh wait,
he
killed 12 million people.
Yeah. one of the throwaway lines that I'd never caught before that I thought was super funny is in the very beginning, Hugo Weaving as the Red Skull has the line. He says something about the Fuhrer has like the other troops digging around in the desert for relics.
Yeah.
It's like, is he talking about the Ark of the Covenant? And I got super excited because like I had never caught that Indiana Jones reference in there before. I was like, that absolutely has to be what he's talking about. Like part of me would love to see a mashup movie where it's Captain America, Hellboy, and Indiana Jones fighting Nazis. Because I think that would just be the greatest thing in the world.
That would be pretty amazing.
They even threw in a Men in Black reference, I feel like. Not really, but when they're in the car at the end, and I keep wanting to call him Agent K.
You can call him whatever you
when
want.
When Tommy Lee Jones hits the red button, my brain was just like, oh, this is going to make that car go upside down! It didn't, but it did make it go faster.
Yeah. It did that in Men in Black as well. It just didn't go upside down at the top. So it was like a half Men in Black reference.
I think it's just a button reference.
Tommy Lee Jones, love pushing buttons.
Let's go back. Let's find out how many times in movies Tommy Lee Jones has hit a button to make things go faster.
All of them.
If you go back and watch The Fugitive, he shoves other agents out of the way to flip the light switches on. I'm going to get Richard Kimmel, and that's my light switch, you son of a bitch.
There's that part at the end of No Country for Old Men where he's giving the speech about that dream he keeps having, but he's trying to push the pilot light on the stove.
There you go. He loves buttons.
I never did that before. There's a new branch off podcast we need to do.
How did Tommy Lee not hit this?
I think that's the other thing, too, is, well... We could. I think we're potentially set up to see Red Skull again. I don't know how likely it's going to be, which is a downer because Hugo Weaving is really fucking good as the Red Skull in this.
Yeah,
he did really good. They didn't dive into a lot of it, but
yeah.
One of the things about an origin movie is you can't spend too much time on it.
Yeah.
There's no action.
Definitely.
If you watch Captain America Winter Soldier, aka Captain America 2, there's a lot more fighting and action in it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to spend the time building the story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing. It's like, you can't do the Red Skull's full origin and show what a scumbag he is. You have to just touch on it. So I think they did a pretty good job with that for the time they had on it. But he was great in it
definitely.
As the Red Skull.
I don't even think it's like that they didn't use him enough. It's just that, like, I want to see the Red Skull again.
Yeah.
Like, in future installments. I mean, you don't see a body. Like, what I took away is like, oh, he got teleported to whatever fucking goofy-ass Marvel dimension. maybe he's hanging out in a prison with fucking Rocket Raccoon and fucking Groot or something. I don't know. Huh. Who's to say?
Entirely
who's
possible. Yeah, that's one of the things with comic books is there's so many alternate theories, stories, universes, dimensions that it's hard to keep them all straight. If you jumped into comics now, you would just shit your pants trying to get caught up.
That's why, like, the only comics I read anymore are comics that, like, have, like, an end in sight. So, like, the Garth Ennis stuff, like, Preacher, something like a Sandman title where, like, it has a definitive end, or, like, the Scott Pilgrim books. I was keeping current on Punisher for a while, but then they got silly with that, and they're all like, oh, let's kill the Punisher and make him into a Frankenstein and call it Frankencastle. I was like, oh, man. These books went from being really cool to really fucking dumb out of left field. I don't keep up as much. And, like, the same with the Batman comics, where it's like, oh, Bruce Wayne's dead. Now he's back. Oh, now he's got a kid. I was like, oh, man, comics... I'm over it.
Like we were saying, in the 40s were over hack for sidekicks. The 2000s are definitely, we've killed every superhero 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough, we get it.
Yeah. It's like, come on.
Didn't they kill 3 different versions of Superman, which shouldn't be possible?
They killed Superman, and then there were 4 different Supermans that came back. And it's one of the, like, Death of Superman and World Without a Superman are really awesome story arcs.
Yeah.
Because, like, Death of Superman is the first time where you're like, oh, wow, there's actually something at stake because Superman can actually be hurt this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And then World Without a Superman is really cool because it's literally, like, you seeing how the absence of Superman in that world affects everyone around it. And that's a really cool take on it. And they're like, ah, no, Superman's back and here's 4 different Supermans. Oh, this is fucking stupid. That they killed Captain America too.
Yeah, the great storyline, the Civil War, which is going to be Captain America 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go too deep into that. I'm halfway through the book.
That's
on my toilet. Well, it's not on my toilet right now because it got knocked off and then moved into my room by that one.
You fucking jerk.
I pointed
ass
at my
cat
microphone.
Your cat's like, don't look at the end. It's not good. And smacks it.
The art style's really lame. She's looking at me like, you fucking dick. I would never say something like that. I can't even read. All right.
Where were we? The one part of the movie I caught that I didn't catch before, I've seen this a few times, needless to say. They always, in every action movie, they have to throw the blatant overhead punch at the very end.
Yeah.
One of the Hydra agents throws a punch where it would connect if Captain America was 8 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
They always got to do that. I wish they would get rid of that in movies. That's just, Steven Seagal made a living off the overhead punch.
Yeah, that big old swing and a miss.
Yeah, the old, I'm going to hit you in the top of the noggin and knock you out. So, that was one action part that bothered me in this, so I had to find some kind of thing to bitch about, so I guess that's mine.
That's your one gripe. It's like, oh, I hate that Hydra agents can't punch right. Fucking idiots.
I was talking to somebody, who said that their biggest gripe with this movie was that they wrote the names of the cities they were going to bomb on the
on
bombs.
On the bombs. That's for them.
And I was just like, I don't know, famous killers do that. And he's like, why do you know what famous killers do?
And then that person never was heard from again.
Yeah. I think it's the other thing to take away, too. Like, when people say that, they need to remember that they're criticizing a movie based on a comic book.
Right, exactly.
And writing the names of the cities they're going after... very comic book thing to do.
Yeah.
Plus they had to program them. There's no computers. It's 1940s.
Yeah.
I would just say that. And then number two, from doing stand-up, I always said don't underestimate the stupidity of a drunk crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in movies. You got to make it pretty damn obvious.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to spell it out.
You can't just put the zip codes on there. Like, that's Gary, Indiana. Let that one go.
Well, I still have two. I'm going to kind of renege on what I just said a second ago. They say that the big threat is to the Eastern Seaboard, but then one of their two bombers is set for Chicago.
Yeah.
Which, don't know if they've ever looked at a map, but not the Eastern Seaboard.
No, they're talking about Chicago, Maine.
Is that a real city?
No.
That was before Pangea formed completely. That's a long time ago. It was actually in Canada. It was crazy.
Damn it. Oh, we haven't hit on two of the other big performances in this. Stanley Tucci as Dr. Emil Erskine.
You mean Mike Kolar?
Oh, way to make a joke. The majority of our listeners, actually half the people in this room, probably don't know who you're talking about.
That's probably it. That's probably true.
That's why they call you Mr. Inside. Jesus.
I know. Did they call me that?
I don't know. I'm calling you that now. No, Stanley Tucci, really good as Dr. Miller's guy, and the guy who, of course, makes the super soldier serum. And then there was Toby Jones as Dr. Arnim Zola, Hydra's Dr. Miller's kind, essentially.
Yeah, both those guys were great. He played a Weasley, stereotypical Nazi scientist, I thought, pretty well. And Tucci was great in that role as well. I thought he played the... he really brought a lot to the character for really... He's only in the first Captain America.
Short time,
yeah,
too.
And then Captain America comes. And actually, in the comics, he jumps in front of a bullet intended for Captain America.
Yeah.
So they didn't... I was surprised they didn't do that. That was one thing that kind of...
Yeah, that heroic sacrifice.
Right, yeah.
I mean, well, I guess, like, he kind of does that. Like, I feel like it's not as blatant. Like, everybody ducks for cover except Dr. Erskine.
Yeah.
And then he takes just two to the chest. And then his last words aren't even words. It's him pointing to Chris Evans' heart.
He ran out of snops, so he's like, I have no reason to live.
Oh, God, that scene is so funny. After that big build-up and exchange, praising Steve for being such a good man, then he's like, all right, you can't drink this. You have a procedure tomorrow.
We'll just have it later. I'm not having a procedure. I'll drink it now.
Yeah.
It was funny, the chest touching, because that scene with Haley Atwell where she touches his chest, that was completely improvised.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, where she goes to touch his chest, but retracts
immediately.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's so good. It's just like, oh, here, clothes. It's like,
yeah, that was a pretty funny scene.
Like, geez, yeah. Agent Carter, so thirsty. Calm down.
Can you blame her?
No, I can't.
I really don't.
Okay. Chris Evans is handsome, I get it.
Did everything get bigger? Just my testicles, it's fucking horrible. It's all bagged down there. It's horrific.
Oh, man.
I had this really weird thing that I thought of after the movie happened. happened. Ivy just brought that up, and I had told someone after watching the movie, I'm more attracted to, like, pre-serum Captain America than I am after serum Captain America, and that's really weird.
I'm curious as to the why of this.
I don't know. I have a weird thing for, like, really scrawny people. I don't know why.
You've got, like, a lost dog thing going on.
Yeah,
there
it is, a legit thing.
I don't doubt it. Just... very funny to me.
Did you see how fast he can run, though? So fast.
Have you eaten this week? No. Oh, you're so hot. Oh, you're so weak. Help me not move this couch.
You saw him holding up the motorcycle later, right?
Three babes on top.
Yeah! A motorcycle and babes? What more could you want?
Some people need projects, I guess. I don't
know. Hey, Scrawny Steve Rogers, let me fix you.
No, that was a great line, though, when Bucky goes, like, oh, I'm invisible now, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, that was good.
It's like, boom, suck it, nerd. It's probably some fucking MRE somewhere being just like, oh, Bucky's in the friend zone.
Bucky's time
was in Brooklyn. Let Steve take a couple swings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like how when Bucky pointed that out, Steve didn't really know how to react to it. He's like, oh, what? I guess? Yeah?
Sorry that you've been getting laid during the majority of your adult life, Bucky. And sorry that I'm going to be a 90-year-old virgin.
The actual trick was Captain America couldn't get drunk, so he was the only one sober enough to talk to women, is actually what really happened. Yeah. Instead, they say, hey, what's up, you boobs? And they're like, get out of here, scumbag. And so that's what actually happened.
I love it, too, because I think prior to this movie, that had never occurred to me, just with everything that had been done to Steve, that, like, he couldn't get drunk. So, like, him and Wolverine cannot get drunk.
Yeah.
Because Wolverine's got the healing factor. Like, oh, man. And your best friend just died. That's the best time to get... like, that and getting dumped. Those are the two times where it's absolutely, totally okay to get shithoused. And he can.
I think I'd pass on superpowers if that was the case.
Hey, Chris, you want these fucking dope-ass metal claws and a healing factor? Here's the kicker. You can never get housed ever again.
Like, what's the other option? You can break pencils with a thought. Be like, I'll take that. And a 12-pack. I'll do that.
Oh, man, the conversation between Skinny Steve and Agent Carter on the drive to the experiment. And so, like, especially, was it right out the gate, he's like, what is he calls her a dame, but I don't remember how he phrased it. Like, it's in such an innocent way, but then he still realizes, like, oh, I probably shouldn't call women this. So how's a dame like that? Oh, no, a beautiful dame. He's like, oh, no, you're beautiful, but you're the broad. Oh.
Lady, agent, wait, too far. I went too far. I don't know.
They never did explain, like, how she got in the U.S. Army, though, because that one guy asked and then got punched in the face. But they never really said it, because she's clearly British. Like, that was that's another little curveball.
Yeah.
So they didn't explain S.H.I.E.L.D., which, once again, constraints of time thing, but that was kind of funny when the guy brought it up. I feel like everyone in the crowd was like, hey, let's go. That's a good question. And then he gets punched in the face. Like, all right, let's move on. Let's just go.
That guy was, he was the focal, like, he was us. He was the crowd.
Nice.
That was Marvel just saying,
shut up and watch.
Shut up, you fucking nerds. Hey, remember how this guy went from being skinny to gigantic with a fucking serum? And you're going to question why a British person is liaising with the fucking U.S. Army? Shut up.
Wait, serum and light beams.
Oh, sorry. Serum and light beams. Serum in a tanning bed. Sorry.
I do that in movies a lot. Like, if it's a superhero movie, I can watch anything and it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But if I watch a serious movie and someone, like, puts orange juice in their cereal by accident, it will drive me apeshit. Like, that's not real. This movie sucks. And like, but everything else is real. And I'm like, oh, superhero movie, Vita Rays. Yeah.
This all makes sense. No, yeah, laser beams in World War II. Totally.
They also brought back the part where they're going to try to synthesize it again from his blood, which is the Hulk thing.
Yeah. That's a throwback to Incredible Hulk, because, General Ross, his failed attempt at it.
Yeah.
And then we get the fucking Abomination.
Yeah, what a dick.
I would dare if they're going to make another Hulk movie. That's one thing that hasn't been discussed.
Yeah.
The last one was decent, but I guess Ed Norton was difficult, to say the least.
I was rereading about it again after we did it recently, and what it was is he didn't want to get tied to being that character.
That's like, an actor thing to do.
Right? Which is so fucking boneheaded.
I've done the same stand-up set for money like 400 times. Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Yeah, who cares? Like, I could rewrite this 10 minutes. Yeah. Nah! These people aren't going to remember me. Who cares?
I'd be kicked in the sack guy in every single movie if they give me $100,000.
It's fucking stupid. And I mean, the nice thing though is that it hasn't been jarring because there have been two major character changes in the MCU movies. So it's good that they've worked. It hasn't been like, what?
Yeah.
I also go on the Hulk thing. Yeah, we need a fucking Mark Ruffalo Hulk movie.
Yeah,
I want it. Because he's so good. He's so handsome.
Mark Ruffalo.
I was shocked by that casting, but it worked out. So
yeah.
Yeah, another one where I was like, I don't get it.
I didn't hear any outrage about that, though, which is weird.
I think everyone had nerd boners for Avengers, period.
Yeah.
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 It was like, oh, we don't care, Avengers! We're finally getting it, and now we've been spoiled, and now we don't appreciate anything, and we don't deserve anything good.
It's true.
Oh, we're getting a Suicide Squad movie? Well, I'm angry at this. Like, 10 years ago, that would not have been a thing. Fuck you. Check your privilege, nerds! God.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. The internet has really given idiots the ability to put their opinions up immediately. Like, it used to be you had to sit and call someone on the phone, and then by the time they answered, you go, wow, that's a dumb opinion. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Yeah. But now it's just like, oh, shit, I probably shouldn't have commented that on a YouTube video.
Yeah. I just crap my pants. Let me tell people about it. I probably shouldn't have posted that. Too late. It's already done. So there's some of that going on with these movies.
One of the other things, fucking Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones is in this, and I completely forgot about it. She's like Tommy Lee Jones, like I guess assistant, and she's there long enough to kiss Captain America and get Agent Carter angry at him, and that's it. That's her entire part in this movie. It's just a trickster babe.
Who's she?
Wasn't she?
It is. She's
awesome.
So good.
She's awesome.
Wonderful.
Wasn't she there earlier though when he was scrawny? Like she's just like around. Didn't even really notice him.
I don't think she comes in until after Captain America rescues everybody from the first Hydra installation.
Yeah.
She talks about
him being a hero.
Yeah, and then right before that,
who was she on Game of Thrones?
She's Marjorie Tyrell.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's her?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize with the blonde hair, but yeah, that is her. Wow.
Yeah.
Because she plays a really young character in Game of Thrones. So
yeah,
that threw me off.
Super
young.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah, that's her. She's fucking wonderful. She was the only part of I'm trying to think of that awful... The Counselor that came out with Fassbender and Javier Bardem and Cameron Diaz a couple years ago with Cormac McCarthy, the dude that wrote No Country for Old Men in the Road. And that's his first screenplay. Not a very good movie. But she's in it for 2 minutes, and she's just absolutely captivating, as she always is. Because she's from a fucking alien planet where everyone is beautiful, I guess. And then that's what they used her for in this. It's like, no, why isn't she not a major character in this universe? Like, she's done in this series now. She's never going to pop up in another Marvel movie. That's what you used her for?
I didn't realize until this watch, like, when she puts down her newspaper and looks at Steve, the music gets just as dramatic as during any fight scene.
Yeah.
It was a very sudden change.
Like, she's gonna kiss him, like, with sinister intent. Like, something bad's gonna... Like, she's gonna kiss him and Bucky Barnes is gonna die in this scene.
Oh, man.
Yeah, after the Hydra agent, she could have been one. You never know.
Oh yeah, that's true too.
The poison lipstick, always very popular in comic and spy movies.
See, that would have been bam. What? There's that twist, and then we got like a Bond villain girl thing going.
Hydra had no women, by the way. Just so maybe they don't use women.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nazis and sexists. Look at that.
Yeah, women can be bad guys.
They try real hard to make you think that there's women in Hydra and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but.
Just a lot of misdirections.
Yeah. You'll figure that out someday.
Okay. That there's no women in Hydra?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it's because women aren't so stupid that they'll be like, oh yeah, cyanide capsule if I get captured, I'll do that, sure.
It's a very like, manly cheer, even. Like, it's not just like a salute, it's like double fists in the air. Like, you just won a championship.
You just fucking beer bombed or did a dance stand successfully. You guys going to the Furious party? What's up? Fucking Hydra.
Yeah, it's
just
definitely
a bunch of bros.
It's definitely a knockoff of the Heil Hitler or Sig Heil salute. So, but
yeah.
It's just
yeah.
We'll throw an extra arm and make it twice as evil.
Extra arm, close the hand.
Heil Hitler and Satan, perhaps.
I mean, are frat boys worse than Nazis? It's up for debate.
I don't know. Depends on the frat.
Yeah, there's some that are up there. There's some that are comparable. Oh, man. Is there anything else we want to hit on before we wrap it up?
Any thoughts?
I don't know.
Overall, I thought that was really good. I was really pleased with it. Being a super fan nerd, it met my expectations. So I was pleased with it. And clearly, Marvel has done almost nothing wrong. The Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, that's a stretch, and that movie just dominated. I'm looking forward to it. I think Ant-Man will be their next test. With a lack of a huge fan base. But if that one hits off, we're getting every Marvel character for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I think them throwing Paul Rudd is definitely going to help the bankability on that. I'm still bummed that fucking Edgar Wright dropped off of it, because he would have been so good for that movie.
I'm holding on. I'm hoping Ant-Man does well, so eventually they make a Moon Knight movie in 2028.
The biggest thing that I want is another Punisher movie.
One done right.
I actually liked Warzone a lot.
It was alright. It was the best one.
It's definitely been the best one. And Ray Stevenson is probably the best Punisher that they've had. And I want more Wesley Snipes Blade movies.
You love Blade. Your Twitter, you tweet about Blade more than anyone who has ever tweeted.
Look, man, Blade and Blade 2 are so fucking good. And again, like, Wesley Snipes' Blade is on the level of casting genius that Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Chris Evans as Captain America is. It's just some of the best casting ever, and those movies are great. Because they're like, hey, this dude kills vampires. It's like, oh yeah, let's just go ahead and make it R. And it's bloody and violent and fucking awesome. And
vampires, much like undead Nazis, very hateable. So
you can't sympathize. It's like, oh, well, I was cursed with immortality, and blah, blah, like, fuck. Fuck you.
They're trying to make vampires sympathetic, and I don't like it.
No. Just saying, it's hard to be sympathetic towards vampires when one of them is played by the WWE's Triple H.
That's true.
Blade Trinity. Blade Trinity has come up on this podcast way more than it should have. It's definitely the weakest of the three. But Marvel, that's it. More Blade movies, more Punisher, please. And Chris's Moon Knight movie. I'm trying to think if there's any other...
I did like that they verbalized... Like, sort of a theme that they've been putting out in a bunch of these is the reason that they chose him is they don't need someone who's used to being powerful. And
they
need some guy who's just, you know, used to being bullied or, you know, has some sort of weakness that they know about.
Well, and who has respect for power and doesn't take it for granted.
Exactly. Which is why Banner, Great Hulk.
Yeah.
As opposed to Abomination, Bad Hulk.
Yeah.
And, you know, Iron Man, Good Hulk. Obadiah Stane, Bad Hulk.
Oh,
I'm going to call all superheroes Hulks now. Because I made a verbal slip, and now it's just going.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got to bring this up because I forgot about it, and you just reminded me.
Yeah.
The weapons that Hydra was using, do you think Tony Stark could have built them in a cave from scraps?
I think he could have. I think he could have. I was wondering why they, you know, when he...
Why the Red Skull wasn't yelling at Artem Zola.
Right, when he's like, I don't know if I can really do what you
Tony
want.
Tony Stark built this in a cave from scratch.
Exactly. It says, he's like, I'm not here for safety.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. We're going to work that Tony Stark line in here.
I think at that time it would be Herbert or H. Stark.
Oh, Howard Stark?
Howard Stark.
H. Yeah.
I came up with two.
Howard Stark built this in a basement in Brooklyn. Doesn't have the same ring, but still,
no.
Still would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Red Skull didn't care. He'd already had his skin burned off, so he was going to turn the heat up.
Yeah.
Ironically, Howard Stark did the same thing with the fighter rays. He cranked it up.
Yeah. Just fucking kicked it up to 11.
The lesson I learned is always crank it up.
Yeah.
But stop, like, halfway through, but don't all the way stop. Just make sure that they're okay with it.
Like,
that
hey,
they
should
know.
We pump the brakes? Nah!
You just have to announce the progression that you're doing. 40, 50, everybody's sweaty and nervous, go for it. 100.
Cool. If there's nothing else, I think we're going to wrap up with our favorite moments, so we'll just work around. I'll start with Ivy.
Cool. So my favorite moment is a couple moments, but it's like the writing was so smart and the callbacks of the lines were like my favorite things.
Yeah.
So when like the Red Skull guy is punching me in, he's like, I can do this all day. It's like when
you
get beat up in the alley.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of things were so good. Or like the don't be late kind of line.
Oh,
kept talking to him again and again.
Oh.
Like, those lines were just so good and they were like the callbacks were just so good. And you were like, yes, every time that happened. So those were my favorite
Except
parts.
For that last time when you were just talking.
When you cry.
Your yeah.
Yeah. But that was just really, like, smart writing, and I like that.
Cool. Jackie?
Mine was, because of the costume and set design, like, the very last scene where he wakes up in present-day New York in this fake room, because I love how everything is made to be just slightly off. It reminds me of, like, if you were watching a theater performance of something that was supposed to be in that age, like, you'd be like, oh, okay, we'll believe this, but for him, like, he knew it was wrong. Also, like, when the woman walks in, she's not wearing the right kind of shirt, and she's not wearing the right kind of bra, which you can really notice. You're like, your boobs aren't supposed to look like that. So I just thought that was really cool, because it probably would have been really fun to plan
yeah.
for them.
Chris?
Punching Hitler, always good. That was up there. And then him jumping on the grenade is probably my favorite scene. Because that was really that was the key to him getting chosen for the project. So that was a great scene for me.
I think mine is in the montage of them doing, you know, busting up all the Hydra facilities.
Yeah.
It's this one moment he hops on top of a tank, just sort of nonchalantly busts the latch open the shield, nonchalantly rips it open, nonchalantly pulls a dude out, waits for his buddy to throw some grenades up. Throws the grenades in there, just like, boop. And then jumps off like nothing. Like, what? I've been doing this for a while.
By the way, that tank was the size of 47 tanks.
It
was like a 3-story tank.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic.
Just this tank is going to get stuck somewhere. I think for me, kind of in keeping with what have been my favorite moments in the other Marvel movies, are the action scenes obviously are great in these movies. The scene right after Bucky dies, where he realizes he can't get drunk in the bar, that and at the end when he wakes up, finds out he's a man out of time, and he's like, oh, I had a date, and then like on top of like the obvious realization that he's not gonna get that dance with Peggy, but also like how fucking shitty is it to fall asleep for 70 years and wake up and. And that's why, like, in the comics, the most interesting part was he Nomad? Was that what he called himself for a while, like, right after he came out of the freeze? It was something along those lines.
He was Nomad when he got disillusioned with the Watergate scandal. With the
okay, guy. Yeah, so that's, so it was that, and, like, just him being, like, a soldier without a country.
Yeah.
And all of that. So, like, the most interesting stuff happens after he comes out of the freeze and he's out of his element. And, like, especially... Also, in light of like the backlash against Vietnam and like that being completely countered, which I think Winter Soldier plays into that a lot, which I'm really super excited to get into Winter Soldier because Winter Soldier and Iron Man 3 are my favorite of the Marvel movies, so those are fucking amazing. But yeah, those are the moments for me in this. All right,
excellent,
awesome,
cool. We're gonna wrap it up there. Thank you, Ivy, Jackie, Chris, and Alex for coming on doing the podcast again. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.